If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me?
Doctor,
he said,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment And thank you for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We have a great show. Hey, Frank, how's my level? Sound is okay? Oh, yay. I sound fine, he says. Lovely. Well, we had some technical issues on a show I did Wednesday, so I just wanted to make sure. All right, we got a great show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, drug accumulation. We got some new research to impart to you, something that may interest you, and we have a quack report. But before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. And I'm minding the time because it grows short. And so, let's see, today's devotional, Mark 10 says, "Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in." Matthew 6 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And Romans 14, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Amen to that. You want a paradise, that's it. Beyond anybody's imagination. And the only way in is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So mind the time. It grows short. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, what do we have here? Cities in California are banning construction of new gas stations. Several cities in California banned the construction of new gas stations, claiming this is necessary to fight climate change. The first city in California to ban the building of a new gas station was Petaluma, city of about 60,000 in North Bay region. Petaluma officials, led by the city councilman woman and progressive activist Delinda Fisher, claimed that the ban was completely uncontroversial at the time. Okay. Last but not least in the quack report, what else are they going to ban, Frank? You know? I just wonder. All right, last but not least, 80% of urine samples in the United States contain glyphosate, according to the CDC study. Yeah, from both children and adults in the United States, the herbicide glyphosate Roundup is in urine. The National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey stated that glyphosate was detected in about 1,800 to 2,300 urine samples taken from Americans 6 years old and up. They reported that the amount of Roundup in the urine samples were at detectable levels, reflecting the extent of the chemical throughout a person's body. According to, let's see, this is Professor Leanne Shepherd at the University of Washington. She says this, "I expect that the realization that most of us have glyphosate in our urine will be disturbing to many people. But now that we got it from the National Health Institute and their analysis that a large fraction of the population has it in their urine, a lot of people will be thinking about whether that includes them." Yep. Director of Boston College Program of Global Public Health said, his name's Phil Lanigan, he says, "I am particularly concerned for children that they have more heavy exposure to pesticides than adults do because they drink more water, eat more food, and breathe more air." He further warned that children still have many years of future life that could be affected by disease with long incubation periods such as cancer. Yeah, so. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Alrighty, we're going to talk about drug accumulation. A lot of people wonder about that, you know. They wonder about, you know, drug toxicity, you know, your doctors don't worry too much about it. You know, they'll tell you your body filters that kind of stuff out. Well, let's just see what the powers of science have to say about this. Because a lot of people really don't think about the accumulation of prescription drugs inside their body. Not really. It may pop up in their minds from time to time, but overall they don't. So medical doctors expect there to be very little, if any, drug residues left inside a body after it has done its job. And there are studies now that have measured the drug dose that is administered in a concentrated dose and how the body accesses the drug and disposes of the residues. So absorption rates are measured by science on drug therapy. And the amount of the drug that consistently stays within the body is called steady state concentration. So they even have a name for it. So they know drugs can remain. So they said it's clear that science is still, you know, experimenting with drug therapies on patients really without a lot of their knowledge, and patients do not have informed consent, and in most cases neither do the doctors, as most drug trials have data that is hidden or destroyed to avoid discovery. So the doctors take the drug company's words, you know, at face value, and they don't really do any investigating of drug therapies. Not many of them do. So here's a study. This is according to the National Library of Medicine, March 2022. They said they were trying to calculate the drug residues circulating in the system, and they discovered that the amount of body fat that a person has will influence how long a drug remains in their body. There were, you know, some concerns among the researchers that certain individuals might retain more of the drug than others. And the drug is expected to reduce to what science calls half-life in the blood system. Normally, that happens when the drug is distributed into your cells and then the liver neutralizes toxic drug levels. So things that can influence drug levels are if you have a disease, your age, your body fat, and liver function. So body fat levels really were a concern for these researchers. So this can pose a real concern for, let's say, the elderly segment of our people who often have issues in a lot of these categories. And according to science, the elderly gain approximately 36% more body fat in men and 45% in women. So as we all get older, they're expecting us to have higher body fat. So this means that women will retain drug residues longer and in higher amounts. That's important to know. Higher amounts, I mean, because women don't usually get a lower dose on medications. Typically, they don't. So getting back to our topic. So what people really don't know is many common drugs are called lipophilic drugs, which means the molecule weight of the drug does not decrease or degrade in the body like other drugs do. Lipophilic drugs impact the uptake and how the drug is metabolized. So these drugs also promote a risk of the medication targeting and even binding to unwanted cells. Here's a quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, lipophilic drugs potentially increase the risk of toxicity in large drug compound sets. It has demonstrated that lipophilic compounds are more likely to cause toxic events. And the combination of daily dose, they said, lipophilic drugs can affect the liver. It can create what is called hepatotoxicity. Lipophilic drugs, they say, at a dose of 100 milligrams a day offer high liver toxicity, causing adverse events. So according to the Mayo Clinic, the dose range for adults using, let's say, ibuprofen can range between 400 milligrams to 3,200 milligrams a day, well over the 100 milligram level. All right, so what is really concerning, though, is the drug manufacturers and their studies were working off theory that the lipophilic uptake and absorption drugs worked better in higher doses. It's a theory. an educated guess. Here's a quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, this general trend that favors lipophilic drug therapy at higher levels, that the lipophilic level, the better the absorption, and as a pH pardon theory is suggesting. So it's a theory. So you may ask, well, what the heck is a lipophilic drug? Am I taking anything like that? Are you looking at each other saying, are we taking lipophilic drugs? Well, let's look. According to the Journal of Chemistry, the lipophilic drug that can be a real problem are your ibuprofen, which is your pain relievers. By the way, logged in registered deaths on ibuprofen are 16,500 a year, which probably is low. Those are the ones that are reported. Then there's a naproxen, which is a pain reliever, usually prescribed for headaches, muscle aches, tendonitis, dental pain, and menstrual cramps. Another one is cotopaxil. It's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, usually prescribed for things like arthritis. And then there's a fluorobiprofen. It's a pain anti-inflammatory, usually prescribed for swelling and joint stiffness. And then you also have the lipophilics in hormone replacement therapies, especially the injectable kind. And they're also used, those type of therapies are also used for neuropsychiatric diseases. And lastly, oh yes, drum roll please, lipophilics are in your vaccines, including vaccines for cancer and veterinarian care. So here's the Journal of Chemistry. They say the lipophilic lipidity level is an important parameter that influences the activity of the drugs in the human body. So it's a big component. And then the National Library of Medicine says lipophilics have become important carrier systems in vaccine development, and the interest for liposome-based vaccines has markedly increased. They go on to say liposome-based vaccines provide properties that are fundamental for the development of modern vaccine formulations. So lipophilic additives are not going to go away with regard to vaccine development. And also they said older people have a higher baseline risk of cardiovascular events, GI bleeding, and impaired renal function, all of which are further increased by using non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, your ibuprofens, the list we just read, with the lipophilic ingredients in there. You know what? And the thing is if you tell people in healthcare, you know, you get this oh well approach. You ever notice that? Because there's nothing else to give you. Oh well. Most physicians who know what they're doing know there's a high risk of all the anti-inflammatory pain reliever drugs and even vaccines. But, you know, they take that oh well approach to the terrible risks that they offer. So doctors really don't know about the options other than using pharmaceutical drugs. So you take away the drugs. Doctors have very few tools. There's ever a drug shortage. What are doctors going to do? What are their patients going to do? Well, I think it's time to educate. I really do, because there's really no time like the present to get smart about alternative therapies that offer little to no risk. So often people are surprised at how they can find solutions to these everyday problems without using over-the-counter or prescription meds. So being proactive is a mindset, and it really takes work to figure things out. Some things will work and others may not. So we all have different tolerance levels to foods and medicinal herbs. So know your limits and avoid being discouraged. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get their free herbal catalog. It'll list the immune support herbs in there, metabolic strengthening herbs, and your toxin removal herbs. So you are very powerful with cleanse and nourish approach to wellness, and that's what that is, and that's what God designed for us. So call Apothecary Herbs, get their catalog. Their number's 866 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. The website is thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, take that power back. Be independent. Be stronger. Be healthier. You might want to check out some of the herb kits there. They have a heart attack packs, snake bite kits, pandemic kits, pneumonia packs. They have quite a few things that are very valuable that you may want to have on hand. Shelf life on most of the herbs can be between 5 to 10 years. Your liquids are 10 years and your powders are 5 years. So environmentally controlled storage and you'll have things on hand. So check them out at thepowerherbs.com. Also, if you are into being educated, sign up for their free online newsletters. They go out each week. You will find them under the Books and Newsletters tab, and it's absolutely free. So check that out when you can. All right, we've got a few minutes before we got to take a break, and I wanted to delve into a topic that we've discussed in the past. And it's about the electronic cigarettes. You know, the people are vaping. You may have children or grandchildren out there that do that kind of thing. And I thought we'd check it out and see where the risks are with that. Is it safer than smoking? Some people don't know the answer to that. So there's a lot of debate, though, on the safety of the electronic cigarettes, known as e-cigs or vaping. And these are devices that where the user will pour liquids into what is called a mod, M-O-D. It's a module. And the module often contains a battery to help fuse the liquid into a vapor. And when the user presses the mod button, a connection is made with the battery, and an atomizer coil is activated, which heats up. And the vape liquids contain things like flavors and nicotine and glycerin. So we're going to take a look at all what that means, especially what the medical establishment may be saying about this for health reasons and risks. What do these produce for these kids down the road that need to be protected, their health? So let's look at the American Lung Association. They had a report on e-cig cigarettes containing flavored varieties of liquids, causing what pulmonary physicians were calling popcorn lung. So the flavored liquids, they say, can contain a chemical called butadiene. Diacetyl is another word for it. So these are often added to foods for flavoring. An example would be butter-flavored liquid that you pour over your popcorn at the movies. Not really butter, but it's flavored to taste like butter. So this chemical reacts differently, though, when it's in the lung, as it is vaporized, causing what pulmonists are saying will cause lung disease. So they say e-cig users should ask why employee manufacturers that are making this liquid, butadiene or diacetyl, why are they all suited up and wearing respiratory equipment when they're manufacturing that product? They make it for the food industry, food flavoring industry. People in the movie popcorn industry use it. Microwave popcorn manufacturers use it. But all these people that are making this chemical have to wear respiratory protection due to the high incidence of lung disease. And this stuff is in the cigarettes that people are sucking into their lungs. Now, the CDC issued a warning on this chemical used in flavorings causing lung disease. Such flavorings may be safe to eat, but not to breathe in. Here's the quote from the CDC. Workers at the diacetyl manufacturing are exposed to hazardous substances which contribute to abnormal lung function within 12 months. Are a majority of our kids that are vaping going to be, you know, needing lung transplants? So what makes e-cigs toxic? Well, according to an article in November 2017 Journal of the Food and Chemical Toxicity, they said there were several ingredients that make them toxic. They have propylene glycol in there. They have vegetable glycerin and also nicotine. So in their study, the scientists infected some rats with these components by inhalation for 90 days as if they were smoking e-cigs. So limited studies on such things like toxic ingredients like this have been done separately, but not together in a mix, which is what is in these e-cig liquids. So the FDA is still asserting their research and making regulation changes to the e-cig market as they go along. So toxicity analysis was done afterward on the molecule levels in the rats, and what they discovered is that when nicotine is added, they offer other compounds, and it's a subtoxic response. So you want to keep in mind that research was funded by your Philip Morris International folks, which is referred as the competing interests in the research. Therefore, they concluded that the toxicity was not considered life-threatening or acute, and it was reversible when inhalation of the vapors ceased. So the results showed almost similar responses as if you were to inhale aerosols. Who would want to go and inhale aerosols? So what they discovered was there was inflammation of the lung tissue, cell hyperplasia, squamous cell metaplasia, presence of high macrophage count, in other words, your immune system, white blood cells were up, gene expression disruption, which is higher for females. It created overwhelming down-regulated gene sets with regard to your T cells, which would be your immune system cells. So females have a lower immune system response when they're doing e-cigarettes. Xenobiotic enzymes were affected with the nicotine when it was added. Low hemoglobin counts, low blood protein counts, low calcium levels, fattier livers and higher liver enzymes, which means the liver's in distress, and liver swelling and compression of bile ducts. So we have young adults that are going to be in a real pickle soon if they continue to do the e-cigs. And, you know, there's more research being done. U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health reported on the psychological report, October 2017, with regards to electronic cigarette, the vapors. And they say it affects their pulmonary and molecule gene set pool. And they said it did not seem to be conflicting with other researcher interest. It concluded the ingredients in your vapor liquids alter gene expression in the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the skeletal muscles, and the brain. They also stated that the e-cigs alter the rhythmic genes that help with body's ability to regulate system function, such as your sleep cycles, and increase your risk of disease. The research team also cleared the nicotine, and it said that it caused changes, that it caused the propylene glycol and glycol ingredients. So once you add that nicotine, it seems to have a change. We got to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
P Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
For the bouncy music. All right, we're talking about your e-cigs and kind of delving into what science is coming up with here. Some of the risk factors, what people seem to go, oh, well, about. Here is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine, October 2017. Both propylene glycol and glycerol alone were able to cause lung inflammation. Data is suggesting that inhaling vapors with such ingredients generated by the e-cigarettes affects the expression of circadian molecule clock genes in a systematic fashion. In other words, kids having trouble sleeping. Circadian rhythm. They go on to say, distribution of the circadian rhythmically can cause a myriad of biological alterations. In lungs, it disrupts and exacerbates the immune response. to bacterial effects. So these people are going to have trouble with pneumonia. Also, they said our exposure is similar in principle to most tobacco cigarette smoke exposure systems and are instrumental in identifying the mechanisms behind pulmonary and systematic consequences. So really, generally speaking, e-cig smoking is just as harmful as cigarette smoking. They looked at some cells under a microscope. According to Dr. Yuriva Ghosh of the Respiratory Clinical Care Medicine Department, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, an examination of lung tissue affected by e-cigarettes changes 300 proteins inside the epithelial cells, and these cells were compared to those of a traditional smoker, in which only 78 proteins were altered. So more cells altered by e-cigs than regular tobacco smoke. They said this, e-liquids rapidly enter cells, reduce membrane fluidity, and impair protein diffusion. The changes are not harmless and could progress to chronic lung disease. A study done now in Australia at the Telethon Kids Institute showed that e-cigarettes cause lung damage. They said most e-cigs contain potentially dangerous chemicals such as formaldehyde and will have some form of respiratory impact as well as full body effects from these devices, end of quote. Well, I don't know. Are we going to have a bunch of wheezing adults, young adults in the future? The University of Rochester Medical Center reported February 2019. They had a study published in the Journal of Tobacco Control. According to their report, people who use e-cigarettes are twice as likely to develop pulmonary wheezing compared to those who do not use the devices. They report that there is a e-cig aerosol, the flavoring ingredients that do the most damage. And they also responded by saying lung inflammation and also free radical damage associated with e-cigs. They warn that e-cigs are not safe for lung health, and they state that wheezing is generated by serious health conditions of the narrowing of the airway. Dr. Deborah Ossip, Department of Public Health and Sciences, University of Rochester, she says, the changes we're seeing with vaping, both in laboratory experiments and in studies of people who vape, are consistent with early signs of lung damage, which is very worrisome. Adults who vape are 1.7 times more likely to experience wheezing and difficulty breathing. Well, I mean, you know, I guess they're not going to pass the physical at the military either if they're going to try to get into the military, I think, right? Well, they said there's a 78% increase in e-cig use among high school seniors, 48% among 6th to 8th grade students, and the FDA is kind of rolling out a lot of restrictions there for the manufacturers not advertised to that age group. So it's really not realistic, really, to think that you can put an unnatural substance into the body and not have a negative effect. So it may not happen overnight, but there's going to be a saturation point in which the body will buckle under this type of abuse, and that's what it is. So everything we put into the body matters. It affects the body on a cellular level. So diet changes, either good or bad, change your DNA in just 6 days. So hopefully, you know, if these kids quit vaping, they can minimize or maybe even try to reverse their pulmonary damage. So now the good news is if you do take away the e-cigs, you have a better chance of recovery. You can't expect to recover and still do the abusive act. So the longer the abuse goes on, the harder it is and the longer it's going to take to try to regenerate pulmonary tissues. So cleanse the system, There's a lot of people out there that have COPD, may not be from cigarettes or vaping, but they have COPD, which is your bronchitis, sinusitis, and emphysema conditions. So people are getting combination sicknesses. A lot of times they don't know how they got them. You could be working in a plant and get stuff like that based on what you're breathing in. Or you can be, you know, sitting next to somebody who smokes a lot. I did that, Frank. Oh, when I was in college, I was working for a wholesale floor place, and the girl next to me smoked like a chimney. It was terrible. I was always getting sick, you know, because I just don't, I'm very allergic to tobacco smoke, and so, oh, gosh. Now, this is before they said you couldn't smoke in the office, you know, you had to, they were just puffing away at their desk. I'm like, man, she had these really long pink fingernails, and she had their little cigarette in her, always in her hand. It's just not healthy. It's not normal to put smoke into your lungs. Oxygen goes in there, okay? I don't mean to hurt people's feelings out there, but health-wise, it's not good. What? Oh, I thought you said something, Frank. Okay, we got a few minutes. We're going to kind of shift gears, and we're going to talk about some erectile dysfunction, because I get lots of calls about that. And we've talked about it before, but we're going to try to hit some highlights, kind of revamp the whole process here and kind of hit the high point so you get what I'm talking about. There's different degrees of erectile dysfunction. You can have mild to moderate to severe. Medicine has, you know, put them into three categories. And it, statistically, there's 30 million men in the United States that have this type of dysfunction. A lot of men are diabetic, 50% of them typically. So this is not something that, you know, they talked about in the 40s and 50s or even 60s. It's now more talked about. But according to medical science, older men get the they're more likely to experience the ED the older they get. Some of the symptoms of erectile dysfunction, majority of the men with ED say they have anxiety or tension or low self-esteem. They lack confidence, and they have relationship difficulties. Often when men take cardiovascular medicines, they also experience erectile dysfunction, so it's a drug-induced condition in some cases. This is an article from the Newsweek, 1997. They said, each new drug with the attendant publicity brings more men into the game. Some urologists expect the number of men seeking treatment to double in the coming years. So, you know, the erectile dysfunction drugs were kind of flooding out into the marketplace at that time. So what are some of the causes, though, other than what we just list for ED? You could have a vascular disease, like you could have diabetes or hypertension, or you could be a smoker. That can have an impact. Also, surgery. Some people that get prostate cancer and have surgery or colon cancer surgery, that can impact function as well. Nerve damage, obviously. If you have, like, spinal cord or multiple sclerosis, or even a stroke, that can create the problem. And also endocrine imbalance, which is your hormone system. Endocrine system manufactures hormones. So you got an imbalance there, and they call it nowadays low T for low testosterone. And when that occurs, it can, you know, create a problem. Typically, people in their late 40s and up can experience low T. Also, emotional disorders like, you know, the anxiety and depression, things like that can create the problem. Drug therapies, we were talking about the blood pressure meds. Also, sedatives, narcotics, antidepressants can also create an ED scenario. And alcohol and smoking is on the list as well. So here's the list. We're going to go down a list of drugs that can really be a drug-induced version of erectile dysfunction for guys. So you can be on a prescription drug for some treatment of a disease, and it invariably can affect your hormones or your nerve endings or your circulation that can create the erectile dysfunction issue. You can always look your drug up on the internet or in a physician's desk reference to see if those are possibilities. Maybe ask your doctor for a different medication if you want to. But most of these drugs are pretty common. If you're on diuretics, if you're on antihypertension type of meds or blood pressure meds, antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, epileptic medications for seizures and things, antihistamines, over-the-counter stuff even, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, we just talked about, you know, their toxicity levels in the first part of the show, Parkinson's medications, anti-arrhythmia drugs, AFib, you know, heart flutters, histamine H2 receptor antagonists, that would be your Tagamet and your Zantac, as well as muscle relaxants, prostate cancer medications, and chemotherapy drugs. So there's a lot there that can really give you a problem. And broad list, really, of medications that contain other ingredients that can also cause ED, drugs that contain amphetamines, barbiturates, marijuana, methadone, nicotine, how about opiates and cocaine? These can all cause a sexual dysfunction known as ED. And medical doctors are really looking to treat ED with what they call PED inhibitors, things like Viagra. Yeah. So if you're on blood pressure medicine, no problem. They're going to write you a prescription for one of these Viagra drugs. Levetra, Cialis, same thing as Viagra. So 70% success rate, patients told, go ahead and just pop this pill and you'll be fine. A lot of these drugs are made by Pfizer, and they've been around since the late 90s. Let's see, Levitra is made by Bayer, GlaxoSmithKline, Cialis is made by Eli Lilly, and Viagra is made by Pfizer. So they've been around, and, you know, people consider them to be safe medications. So these drugs, what they do is they block a chemical in the penis that would make the erection subside, which often is a side effect to using these drugs where you can't get rid of the erection. So these drugs do not mix well with some other medicines, especially meds that contain nitrates or nitroglycerin. So you got to be careful there. Common side effects if you're taking your ED medications, headaches, facial blushing, nasal congestion, indigestion, visual disturbances, back pain, and muscle aches. All right. This was a study, though, in 2014, a study of men using medications for erectile dysfunction like Cialis, and they were stating the patients could be at a greater risk of developing cancer of the skin. This was results from a research that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 2014. There was also a similar study done by Harvard in 1986 to 2000. They found that men who used the erectile dysfunction drugs had a 43% increased risk of skin cancer compared to those who do not use those drugs. Now, scientists did not want to directly accuse the drug of causing the cancer, but said that there was a possible link between the drug for ED and the cancer. Now, apparently, there is an 84% risk increase in getting the most dangerous form of skin cancer within 10 years when you're using the ED drugs. And if there was a supplement showing this kind of risk, you know it wouldn't be on on the market very long. And though these are just kind of two studies that were done, and they were a decade apart when they were done, and there's still a probability, and more studies need to be done to establish this risk, but there's not being anything done about it. Medical establishments and the drug companies are saying that this is non-consistent evidence. The drug trials were too small, or the studies were too small, and it's not their drug that causes skin cancer. So, but if 14 men out of 1,000 get skin cancer from using the drug, when do you say the risk is too high? So why does it have to be 95% or greater of the patient base to declare there's a health risk. So if 1.5% were going to get skin cancer by taking the drug, patients kind of roll the dice, taking their chances that, you know, the intimacy they crave won't literally kill them later. So this is a perfect example that medicine does not fully inform patients, that they don't get the full facts up front. An example is allergy shots. I've talked about this before. They'll tell you stay around the doctor's office for a half hour after you get your allergy shots just so you don't have a reaction. People don't ask, what kind of reaction? Well, it's anaphylactic shock. It's respiratory arrest. It's called dying from allergy shots. People don't think allergy shots are that risky because they don't get all the facts. They don't dig for them. Ask questions. I'm a big question person to the point of, I guess, making people uncomfortable in some cases. I don't mean to be nasty or rude about it. I just am curious. My mind's always asking questions. Now, the JAMA Journal, the Journal of American Medical Association, did a study on ED drugs like Viagra and Cialis, and they said it can interfere with how cells communicate. So the drug can interfere with those cells. And they said the cell-to-cell signal pathways are altered or blocked when you take this drug. So apparently this is also what happens when skin cancer metastasizes or spreads. Interesting. So the question is, do the ED drugs put patients at a higher risk of getting skin cancer? Well, since the research followed a large group of men using the drugs and they got skin cancer compared to the group that did not use the drugs, this presents a causal link. And the skin is the body's largest organ, and if the cancer spreads out of control, death will occur. So patients at this point in time will have really to decide if the findings are just coincidence or is it a scary fact? And doctors are, you know, now telling patients to use their sunscreen to protect them. But that's not going to really help. Not really. If you heard a show that I did on sunscreen, you know that those products really don't protect you from the risk from the sun. And you're encouraged to stay out there longer because you think you're protected. Doctors are also recommending that men that use the ED drugs to get skin checks frequently. So if that's not a telltale sign that there's a risk, I don't know what it is. And check your statistics. 76,000 Americans are diagnosed with melanoma annually, and over 50% are men, and over 13%, that's 10,000 of them, will die from it. Now, you want to check your chart for cancer rates prior to the debut of your ED drugs in 1996, for instance, and you'll notice that skin cancer was really on the decline. But after the ED drugs, it was up again. Yeah, this was the annual percentage change. This was the Wiley Library U.S. Cancer Report. This was the incidence of mortality from 1973 to 1995. And you can see that skin cancer was like, you know, not even on the chart. Very low indeed. So the makers of your ED drugs released a study in May 2017. This was on WebMD.com that the drugs do not put men at risk of melanoma and was published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. Now, I wonder how much that cost them, really, right? So you got statistical analysis prior to the ED drugs, and skin cancer, especially in men, was low. And then after they came out on the market, it was high. So the ED drugs are really not covered. Well, they typically haven't been covered by insurance. Those things can change. I think the ED drugs, when they came out, they were like $50 a pill. I think they're less now. So this means that, you know, usually people that have money can afford it if the insurance isn't paying for it. So, and there's been some lawsuits, by the way, Cialis and Pfizer and the makers of Viagra, Eli Lilly, lots of men went and sued regarding their melanoma conditions. Lawyers have uncovered a study that was published in the journal Cell that states Cialis and Viagra drugs cause increase in tumor growths and deadly form of skin cancer. So there's well over 100 cases in the courts now. All of men are saying that they never were made aware of the cancer risk. So there were also TV ads running, you know, asking viewers if they have had any people with skin cancer after they took the ED drugs. You know, so these are like attorney ads, you know, jump on the lawsuit bandwagon. So here's what recall report published in 2016. Drug makers like Eli Lilly have responsibility to communicate all risks to the consumer, and if they fail to do so in the case of melanoma, they will end up paying out big settlements. Yeah. I think by this time, Pfizer made like $1.93 billion selling their Viagra, just Viagra alone. So, I mean, whatever they pay out won't be as much as that. So, and that's what they're banking on, pretty much. So, there are other ways, though. That's what I'm here to say. If you're worried about low T and ED and stuff, there's some nutritional ways to deal with those things. And also you might want to find alternative to maybe the drug-induced versions, okay? So if you're looking for some assistance, you may want to look into the male hormone formula. It's not a male hormone replacement drug. It's plant nutrition that feeds the endocrine system, which manufactures hormones in the right amount for you. So that's the male hormone formula. And then they also have the prostate cleanse kit that tends to help with conditions like erectile dysfunction, so you can check that out. And they also have a bowel cleanse if there's some issues there that affect the prostate and the erectile issue. So you've got some tools. Cleanse and nourish. Remember, it's very basic, but it's what God intended for the human body, which He designed. So give them a call at Apothecary Herbs and get their free catalog. The number's 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you want to check it out online, thepowerherbs.com. Get your free catalog and be empowered. You'll be amazed. Once you have tools and information, you'll be amazed what you can accomplish and do. Just imagine doing more than the white coats can. Curing yourself. No kidding. I mean, who wants drug therapy for the rest of your life? Not me. That's what a cure means medically. The definition is putting you back to your original wellness before you got sick. Drug therapy the rest of your life doesn't even hit that mark. It manages your symptoms, makes you comfortable with your problem for the rest of your life until you, you know, die from it. That, to me, is not a cure. And we have to change that. We really have to work on that. You can do that now, though. You have that power. Immediately, just make sure that your mindset is in gear with that. Well, I can see by the time I'm out of time. And don't forget to call 866-229-3663 at Apothecary Herbs and get your catalog. Visit them at thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.